The unexamined life is a life not worth living. That if you don't examine your life, it's not worth anything. If you don't sit down and take stock and see where you're at and ask yourself questions and ask yourself, you know, how come you're not where you should be? You know, you should not be spiritually where you were a year ago. If you still got a baby bottle drinking milk, then the Bible says in Hebrews, at which time you ought to be eating meat, you still drinking milk. You ought to take some stock. You ought to do some evaluation. Because you ought to be a lot further down the road than you are right now.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Excuses of a Sluggard, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Excuses of a Sluggard, Part 2.
James Brown, all right. The Godfather of soul. Sometimes we might need to get some ants in our pants, get a little motivation, get a little fire to get us up off the seat and get us moving. Ants have no ruler. They have no ruler. They have no taskmaster to drive them. But they just motivate themselves. And what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, that if we can learn the lesson from the ant, it will get rooted in our spirit. It'll get rooted in our soul. And we won't need to make all these excuses that we make because we'll be doing what we need to do. And we won't have to make excuses. Ants are self-disciplined. Look what it says here. It says that they provide their food in the summer. Ants discipline themselves to start looking for food in the summer. And they don't procrastinate and wait until the weather turns cold. A lot of folk, you know, you have opportunity to discipline yourself, get something done ahead of time, and get it out of the way, and we wait till the last minute. I've been invited to speak at the National Conference for Biblical Counseling. And they called me to speak. And you know what I started doing right away? I started preparing. You know, they required to have an outline. Now, this is not until June. But they required that you have an outline and, you know, you got to get that in. Now, once again, I'm giving you the good side of Pastor Glaze, right? Because I just told you last week how I procrastinated on something, right? And it just about caught up with me. But I'm trying to get ahead of this thing. Now, I don't want to be rolling into April and say, well, you know what? I got to speak at the conference next month. Let me see what I got to do. No, baby, I want to start now in the summertime, right? While it's summer, the Bible says that the ant starts when? He starts in the summer. He's disciplined. He disciplines himself. When all the other ants are out, or let's put it this way, when all the other insects are out watching TV and playing video games and doing all these other things, you know, the ant is out there in the summertime. Because everybody else says, you know, well, we still got the fall. And you know, we could even go up to the last day of fall and the first day of winter. No, the ant says, look, I'm going to provide my food in the summer. So I'm not waiting until the last minute. The ant is self-disciplined. And then we see that ants are self-assertive. What does that mean? It says that she gathers her food in the harvest. That she don't sit back and let her food rot on the vine. That ants assert themselves and they take personal responsibility to go out and gather their harvest. And they don't let their fruit go to waste. Ants are self-assertive. They go out and seize and take hold of the things that they need to take care of. So ants are self-directed. Ants are self-accountable. Ants are self-motivated. Ants are self-disciplined. And ants are self-assertive. Solomon said to the sluggard, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Learn some wisdom after you go to the ant. And so now what do we want to do? We want to go to the sluggard and we want to overcome all these issues, all these types of slothfulness that we can have, the mental sloth, the relationship sloth, the spiritual sloth, and the physical sloth. We want to go, and we want to be able to use that self-directedness. We want to use that self-accountability. We want to use that self-motivation. We want to use that self-discipline. We want to use that self-assertiveness, and we want to overcome all that sets us back and causes us to be that sloth. So how do we overcome slothfulness? Well, let me say this, because when we look at the meaning of self, you know, we can get the wrong idea. You know, when we think about self, when I said all those things about the ant, right? He was self-disciplined, self-motivated, self-accountable, self-assertive, self-directed, you know, all those things. So we can get the wrong idea about self. So when I'm talking about self in this message, as far as we're concerned, I'm not talking about doing things in human energy or strength. I'm not talking about doing things with human wisdom. But what is self in this message? Self is rooted in a relationship with Christ. Now, I'm talking to a person who, according to Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, is rooted and grounded in a relationship with Christ. When I talk about self this morning, I'm talking about somebody who has been crucified with Christ, according to Galatians 2:20. That self has been crucified, and now the self that does live is not the self of humanity or of the flesh, but it's the self that's been crucified with Christ. When I talk about self, I'm talking about a self that has been powered by Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we talk, because see, I realize when we use this word self, self-help, self-discipline, all these other things, you know, we can begin to think that, well, you know what? This thing is about me. You know, I can do it in my own strength. I can do it in my own energy. I can do it in my own power. No, no, no. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the crucified you. I'm talking about the empowered you. I'm talking about the one that's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the self I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this independent, ego-driven self that wants to have his own way and wants to do his own thing. I'm talking about the self that's in relationship with Christ and crucified with him, empowered by his spirit. That's the self I'm talking about this morning. So how can we overcome slothfulness? Let me give you five things and I'm done this morning. We got a lot to do and I'll be done. I know Big Ben is back today. I realize that, you know, some people, you know, what's the Baptist way to excuse yourself from church? So if I see any Baptist excuses today, I know where you're going. But what's the lesson for us? You know, he says here, let's read it again. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go thou to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her food in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let's learn some things from the ant. See, I heard the story about this man who had just started golfing, and he didn't really know how to golf. And he teed up his ball beside an ant hole, and there were thousands of ants on this ant hole. And he started swinging, and he didn't hit the ball one time, but he tore that ant hill up, shoom, and he just killed thousands of ants. And there was two ants that was left, and the one ant looked up to the other ant, and he said, if we're going to make it, we better get on the ball. So I'm here to tell you today, if we're going to make it, if we're going to overcome slothfulness, then we need to get on the ball. And so as we look at getting on the ball, overcoming slothfulness, first of all, we've got to be self-directed. What does it mean? The ant is self-directed. It says that he has no guide. The ant has no guide. We got to be self-directed. Well, what does that mean? That means that we got to get around people who are doing what you need to know. All right? If you don't know what to do, if you don't understand what to do, then you need to get around some folks that know what they're doing. I know there's a lot of things that I don't know, but, you know, I figure like this. If I can just get around people that know, then I'll know it. Somebody told me this. They said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you're hanging around with a bunch of deadbeat, no account, get high, complaining, sorry, raggedy, crusty foot individual, somebody said, why you have to go there, Pastor? Why you got to talk about people's feet? Then I'll show you. I know what you're going to be because you're hanging around the wrong folk. But if you want to be self-directed, you need to get around people who are doing what you need to do. You need to develop a plan. If you're going to be self-directed, people that are self-directed are people that have a plan. You know, you ask some people, well, what's your plan? I don't have one. Somebody said the plan to fail is to fail the plan, or to fail the plan is a plan to fail. That's the bottom line. And so if we're going to overcome slothfulness, we got to be like the ant, and we got to be self-directed. You know, we got to be able to break things down. See, sometimes we want to take the whole thing and do it, and when we can't do the whole thing, we get frustrated, and then we use excuses and say we can't do it, and then we don't do anything. Just do one thing. Take it down. Somebody said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. And if we are going to overcome slothfulness, we got to be self-directed, and we got to have a plan. Whatever it is, whether it's for our family, what's our plan? Whether it's for our intellectual edification, what's your plan? Whether it's for your spiritual growth, why is it that a lot of people don't read their Bible and pray? Because that's not in their plan. You got to put it in your plan. What is it that's going to get you up off of the seat? You got to have a plan. And so we got to break things down into small components and not take on too much, but take on things that we can handle and have a plan and move in a certain direction. And we'll be able to overcome slothfulness. The ant is self-directed. The second thing we see about the ant is that the ant is self-accountable. And that is that the ant has no overseer. We need to evaluate where we are. We need to have a process where we are asking ourselves constantly, where am I at? If we tried to do something and we failed, how come I failed? Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? You see, one thing that I realize, and that is that people don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. And that if you don't inspect your life, if you have all these expectations for yourself, and you can go skip along and have all these expectations for yourself, but if you never sit down and evaluate where you're at, and hold yourself accountable through Jesus Christ. God holds us accountable. The Bible says that one day we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in this life. So there's that self-accountability. You've got to evaluate your progress along the way. If you get up in the morning and you say, I'm not going to be a spiritual sloth today, but I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, and then you get up and something happens and you don't read your Bible and you don't pray and you go about your day, at some point during the day, you need to stop and do an evaluation of your life and say, well, how come I didn't read my Bible this morning? How come I didn't pray this morning? You need to do an evaluation. You need to evaluate where you are. You need to evaluate your progress. Because somebody said, the unexamined life is a life not worth living. That if you don't examine your life, it's not worth anything. If you don't sit down and take stock and see where you're at and ask yourself questions and ask yourself, you know, how come you're not where you should be? You know, you should not be spiritually where you were a year ago. If you still got a baby bottle drinking milk, then the Bible says in Hebrews, at which time you ought to be eating meat, you still drinking milk. You ought to take some stock. You ought to do some evaluation, because you ought to be a lot further down the road than you are right now. What about if God called you to go to school with your education? He's called you to advance your education. You need to sit down and ask yourself the question, how come I haven't gotten as far down the road on this education piece that God has called me? And then you either got a reason or you got a what? Excuse. You either got a reason or you got an excuse. And I didn't bring my bag back up here. Did somebody take my bag? I guess I didn't bring my bag back up here. Somebody took my prop, right? But I had the bag, right, with all the excuses in it. Let's just reach on in. The devil got the bag. The devil got a whole bag of excuses. And all you got to do is reach in there and pull one out. All right? Evaluate your progress. The ant is self-motivated. The ant has no ruler. The ant motivates itself. How can you motivate yourself through Christ? Well, you know, maybe if you see the end result, man, that should fire you up. Visualize yourself with that robe on, with that cap, with that tassel across your eye. Visualize yourself strutting your stuff across the stage. Visualize yourself shaking hands with the chancellor and getting your diploma. Visualize yourself walking off the stage and all your family and friends shouting and hollering for you. That'll motivate you. See, some people need motivation. There was a king that had this moat that was filled with alligators. And he said, whoever swims across this moat and makes it to the other side, I'll give you whatever you want. So a group of men went down there, and they were all standing there. And all of a sudden, one just leaped out in the moat, alligators chomping, swam across, man. He swam so fast that the alligators, you know, didn't even have a chance to get him. He got on the other side, and everybody came over there. And the king said, I promised that whoever swam across, I'd give them whatever they wanted. What do you want? I want to know who pushed me in the moat. See, some folk need to push, right? The ant don't need a push. The ant motivates itself. The ant motivates itself internally. It finds things to move on. It finds things to push itself. It finds things that stimulates their motives and their actions, and they get going. The ant is self-motivated. You know another great motivator is to think about the consequences of not doing something. You know, think about the embarrassment. Think about the shame. Think about the fact that you're going to have to hang your head low and tell somebody that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You know, or tell a lie. Or make an excuse, all right? Think about the consequences and let that be a motivator for you to overcome slothfulness and get up and get out and do something. And then reward yourself with small accomplishments. You know, with maybe if you've done something, say, well, you know what, I'm gonna take myself out and buy myself a special treat today. You know, maybe go to get some healthy drink or something like that. You know, or you know, maybe I'm gonna treat myself at Golden Corral. No, just kidding. Self-motivated. You know, what is it that's going to motivate you? Find something that you can reward yourself, you know, for. Let that be a motivator. Overcoming slothfulness. Self-discipline. The Bible says that the ant gathers food in the summer. The ant gathers food in the summer. It's discipline. It starts way ahead of time. It disciplines itself way ahead of time to prepare for the winter. Several months ahead, it gets started. It's self-discipline. What are some ways that we can exercise discipline? Exercise, eat healthy, rest, organize important matters in our lives, practice being on time, work to overcome bad habits, eliminate distractions. These are some ways that, you know, sometimes we just need to discipline ourselves for the sake of discipline ourselves. Just to say that I'm in control of this situation right here, and my flesh is not going to tell me what to do. My emotions and my desires are not going to tell me what to do, but I'm going to do what I know is the right thing to do. And sometimes you've got to just discipline yourself like the ant. We can go to the ant and learn a lesson. And then finally, we can learn from the ant self-assertiveness. Self-assertiveness. The ant gathers its food in the harvest. The ant gets out there and claims what is his. How can we do that? By starting to do something. Sometimes just get up and start. Just get up. Just get up and start doing it. Be assertive. Take the bull by the horns. Don't procrastinate. Start early on projects. Be proactive and not reactive. Don't react to situations. But you be in control. You be assertive. You be aggressive. And we can see that whatever it is that God lays before us, that we'll be able to do it. I'm going to ask that you put that one slide back up there as I close, and that is the meaning of self. Realizing that if we're going to use the ant as an example, that we have to factor in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we learn the lesson and as we become wise, let us realize the first lesson, and that is we can't do it on our own, that we have to do it, even though we talked about self this and self that definition for self that we're using is rooted in a relationship with Christ. It means that your desires and your will has been crucified with him, and that you are powered by his energy and by his strength. And if we will commit whatever it is that God has called us to do unto him, he will bring it to pass.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What a Lame Excuse. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Excuses of a Sluggard, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Excuses of a Sluggard, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Excuses of a Sluggard, Part 2, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.